First thing that we want to pray for is for the slides. The whole of this morning hinges around these slides, and I know Joe successfully downloaded them, but whether we can actually get them on the screen, I don't know. What's the score, Joe? Have we managed or not? I don't want to just yet, but have we? Great. Fantastic. Okay, you can take that off for a minute. That's greatly relieving. The reason I'm standing here this morning is because I read a book during the summer holidays, which was How to Receive the Blessings of God. And what a great book this is. And I was really captivated by this. And in fact, actually, I tell you, it was Edith who read this book. And she devoured this book. And she said to me, "You must read this book." And normally when I say that to her or she says that to me, it's a sure sign that we're not going to read it. And but I did. I picked it up and I read it. And I was captivated by this book. And how to receive the blessings of God that he promised to Abraham. And in fact, I went out and bought another book before. I made the mistake of buying another book before I actually finished reading this one, so I could give it away. But by the time I got towards the end of this book, I started getting screaming inside me, saying, "No, that can't be right. That can't be right. That cannot be right." And telling us what we should be doing, we should be more Jewish, and we should be actually taking part of the ceremonies, and we should be praying under the shawl, and we should be doing this and that and the other. And this was screaming. So I thought, I've got to find out the truth of this. I really, really must. And that led me into studying the Word intently over the last few months, particularly Romans. But you can't study Romans without studying Genesis, and you can't study Genesis without Exodus or Chronicles. And then you've got to go into the word of our Lord Jesus and what he said. So by the time you finish this study, you've got about four Bibles spread out. You've got the internet going here. And there's a big difference between reading the word and studying the word. And it's the studying of the word that the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. So what I want to do this morning, I want to base this talk this morning on Romans, particularly chapter 11, and particularly on reference to the olive tree. And I've entitled this talk this morning, Our Jewish Connection. Our Jewish Connection. Now, this is a massive, massive undertaking. The best I can hope to achieve this morning is just to give an overview. It's almost impossible to get into the detail. So forgive me if I miss big chunks out, if I don't illustrate things as you hope that I might do. It just isn't possible. So it's going to be a broad skeleton, and we're going to look at different aspects. And particularly, we're going to say, what does the Word say about this? And have I got time to read Romans? Yes, I have. I'm going to read from the Life Application Bible, which will be different to what you're reading from. I like reading from this Bible because it interprets the meaning of the word rather than a literal translation of the word. So let's see if I can quickly find Romans 11. Start off at 2. You might find it difficult to follow because this is totally different to yours. No, God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Elijah the prophet complained to God about the people of Israel and said, "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I alone am left. Now they are trying to kill me too." And do you remember God's reply? He said, "You are not the only one left. I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal." It is the same today, for not all the Jews have turned away from God. A few are being saved as a result of God's kindness in choosing them. And if they are saved by God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's wonderful kindness would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. So this is the situation. Most of the Jews have not found the favor of God they are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones that God has chosen. But the rest were made unresponsive. As the scriptures say, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this very day, He has shut their eyes so they do not see, and closed their ears so they do not hear. David spoke of this same thing when he said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see. And let their backs grow weaker and weaker. Did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. His purpose was to make his salvation available to the Gentiles, and the Jews would be jealous and want it for themselves. Now the Gentiles were enriched because the Jews turned down God's offer of salvation. Think how much greater a blessing the world will share when the Jews finally accept it. I'm saying all of this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I lay great stress on this, for I want to find a way to make the Jews want what you Gentiles have. And in that way, I might save some of them. For since the Jews' rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, how much more wonderful their acceptance will be. It will be a life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their children will also be holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the Jews have been broken off. And you Gentiles who are branches from a wild olive tree were grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in God's rich nourishment of this special olive tree. But you must be careful not to brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. Remember, you are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches, the Jews, were broken off because they didn't believe God, and you are there because you do believe. Don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the branches he put there in the first place, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe to those who disobeyed, but kind to you as you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the Jews turn from their unbelief, God will graft them back into the tree again. He has the power to do it. For if God was willing to take you, who were by nature branches from a wild olive tree, and graft you into his own good tree, a very unusual thing to do, he would be far more eager to graft the Jews back into the tree where they belong. Father, I just thank you for the truth of your word this morning. Praise God. Father, I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you guide me this morning, Lord, to speak the truth of your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will stop me from saying, reading, thinking, giving out those that is not true. Father, we want the truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've got the first slide up. This is the olive tree that Paul is talking about in Romans. And this is God's plan for the world. This is God's plan, his amazing plan that he created for the saving of the world. Because bear in mind that God wants everybody to have salvation. He wants everybody saved, no matter what your creed, no matter where you come from. He wants everybody saved, and he wants to give them the free gift of eternal life. And so this tree represents God's amazing plan. And the plan started with Abraham. Let it become Abraham. So this is a tree based on faith. The faith of Abraham and his sons Isaac and Jacob. And from them, from the roots of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, came or would come Jesus through the line of David, through the tribe of Judah. And every branch that you see on that tree is going to be a term called God's chosen people. So this is a tree of God's chosen people, which consist of the descendants from Abraham. Now, when you're chosen, if anybody chooses you, if somebody chooses you, it means that they're chosen to do something. All right? You're not just chosen just to bask in God's graciousness and his gifts. the chosen people that's talked about in the Bible are the Jews who are going to take the good news of the gospel to the rest of the world. So that's why they were chosen, because it says in the scriptures that salvation will come first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. To the Jew first, then the Gentile. It says that very, very clearly, both in Hebrews 1:16, and it also says it when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. It says, woman, salvation will come through the Jews. So this is the tree that God had planned, which was going to bring salvation to the world. Let me just read out to you one or two of the promises that that God gave to Abraham. First he said, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And I'm going to give land to your offspring. And that was the land of Canaan. So these are the promises that God gave to Abraham. The Lord told Abraham that his descendants would be strangers in a foreign land, and they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nations that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land when the sin of the Amorites has run its course. And that's from Genesis 15, 13 to 16. So God's plan was that this would all happen through his son Jesus. Through the birth and the death, the time in the tomb, his crucifixion, his raised from the dead, and his ascension to heaven. From there, salvation would come to the whole world. In Genesis 17, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you, by which I guarantee to make you a mighty nation. At this, Abraham fell face down in the dust. Then God said to him, this is my covenant to you. I will make you the father of not just one nation, but a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name to Abraham. You will be the father of many nations, which is what Abraham means. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Kings will be among them. That's from Genesis 17. Now, just take a note of that, mental note of that. All right, just remember that. Remember what we said there. I will give you millions of descendants who will represent many nations. Just mentally grab a hold of that. So let's have the next slide. So that was God's plan. That was his plan for the nations. That was his plan for the world, that everyone should be saved. Paul chose the olive tree to use as a description. You could have used the vine. You could have used the fig tree, which were the other trees talked about in the Bible. But the olive tree biblically symbolizes Israel's ministerial life, how it ministers to people. So that's what the fig tree represents. So he's talking about the fig tree. So Jesus' plan, we looked at God's plan, now we're going to look at Jesus' plan. And if I asked anybody here to tell me why Jesus said he'd come, I'd probably get about 15 or 20 different answers. Why did Jesus say he'd come? Why did Jesus? You'd probably give me lots and lots of good answers. I've chosen two. I felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, there are two reasons why Jesus came. Oh, there are many references in the Bible. The first one's from Matthew 15:24. when he was talking to the woman whose daughter had a demon. And he said, I was sent only to help the people of Israel. God's lost sheep, not the Gentiles. And of course, as you remember, she said, yes, but even the dogs under the table deserve the crumbs. And he was so taken by her faith that even though he hadn't come for the Gentiles, he hadn't come for her, he said, your faith has healed your daughter. He was impressed with her faith. So, you know, Jesus had compassion, even though he hadn't come. So, I was sent only to help the people of Israel. God's lost sheep was very clear. And secondly, which is very clear, is not the Gentiles. Now, I've looked at this and looked at this and looked at this and prayed about this and prayed about this. And the only conclusion that I've come to is this. That Jesus is not talking about the lost like anybody. He's talking about the lost tribe of Israel. He's talking about the tribe that was scattered through Assyria when he allowed the northern kingdom. If you remember, the kingdom was split in two. It was one united kingdom of Israel when they came back to the promised land. And then after Solomon's death and they wouldn't accept Solomon's son, the kingdom was split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And he allowed Israel, Assyria to come and he allowed them to attack and to take away the Israelis, and they were scattered. They weren't taken captive, they were scattered. And I believe that Jesus is saying that my mission on earth as a shepherd is to locate the lost sheep of Israel. And that's who my message is to. Otherwise, how is he going to fulfill God's dream? So his mission is to search out the lost sheep, as I said. Backing this up, in Matthew 10:5, when Jesus was sending out the 12 on their mission of healing, he said, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. There's no argument from the disciples. They didn't say, well, who are they? Who am I supposed to be looking for? Who am I supposed to be talking to? They knew who Jesus was saying. You see, they weren't lost physically. They were lost spiritually. See, in Jeremiah 16:17, God says, my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. So they're not lost, but they're lost in what they worship. They're lost in who they married and they intermarried. And they need to be brought back in again. And Jesus has said, I was sent only, notice that word, only to help the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. So the good news was primarily to be preached to the lost sheep of Israel. And the second thing I picked up on, that Jesus said he came, was in Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. See, by Jesus' mission, by his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, he fulfilled the law. Jesus didn't think the law was bad, but what he did think was that the way that the Pharisees had actually imposed so many conditions and turned it around and changed it that it was impossible to live by. He says, I have come so that the law may be fulfilled. And you know, when you think of all the prophecies in the Old Testament, there's well over 300 prophecies about the coming of the Lord. Very, very specifically in Isaiah 53 and in Jeremiah 31:31, where Jeremiah, speaking for the Lord, says, I will lay my law on their hearts. There will be a new covenant. I will give them a new covenant. So Jesus' death was to abolish the sin offerings. It was to abolish the need for the feasts that they were all indebted to do. And at the same time that he was on the cross, the lamb's sin offering was being made in the synagogues. By my death, I'm abolishing the old and we're bringing life to the new, and you come to me by faith and not by works. So you believe and you have faith in me. Sadly, or good for us, his plan didn't work because he was rejected by his own kind. And what we see here, we see the branches being torn off the olive tree. Those are the branches that were supposed to be Abraham's descendants, who by faith believed in Jesus, by faith believed that he was then now the first fruit. And giving them the opportunity to come to him by faith. So God ripped off the branches of the tree. You might ask, well, what are the remaining branches? They're the Messianic Jews, our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're the ones who had the faith to believe. They believed in Jesus, they believed in what he said. They accepted that his death on the cross and his blood fulfilled the law. Jesus, as the first fruit, was the heir. He was the heir. He was God's heir. Let's have the next slide, Geoff, please. And on the next slide, what we see here, and if you remember, we're talking about them being grafted on. That yellow at the top there on the right-hand side, that's you and me, brothers and sisters. That's you and me. By our faith, by our belief, by our acceptance of Jesus, we have been grafted on to that olive tree. We've been grafted in, and because we are grafted in, then we are nourished by the root. The same root that nourishes the Jews who are on that tree nourishes us. The same promises that God made to Abraham for the Jews are for us. We have become co-heirs, as Paul says. We have been co-heirs with Jesus and God. If you remember, Paul said, don't get haughty about this. Don't get bragging about this, because God can rip you off that tree just as easily as he put you back on. There's no guarantee you're going to stay there. You've got to work at it. Three things has happened. We are now believers and co-heirs with Christ. That's in Romans 8:17. We are children of God. We're the same children of God that God set out to create. And the promises to Abraham and the blessings are available to us too. We've been given the privilege of sharing Christ's inheritance. And as adopted sons of God, Christians are treated as firstborn heirs. Our inheritance includes salvation, eternal life, and according to Revelation 3:12, even a measure of the throne of Christ. We are not there as a church. There's a lot of replacement theology taught that we, as a church of Christ, have replaced the intention of God, that the church is on there and the Jews are no longer on there. And that is not true. That is not God's plan, as we remember reading in Hebrews 11. In fact, let's have a quick look at the Hebrews 11, 25. I want you to understand this mystery, dear friends, so you will not feel proud and start bragging. Some of the Jews have hard hearts, but this will last only until a complete number of Gentiles comes to Christ. We don't know how many that is, but until that number comes, as soon as that number comes, he says, and so all Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? Deliverer will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel from all ungodliness, and then I will keep my covenant with them and take away their sins. Can remember I said to keep something in your head when I was talking about the promises to Abraham? He said, I will make you the father of nations, of many nations and millions. Let me just tell you that in a census in 2010, 158 countries or territories have now a majority of Christians. So on there, we've got 158 countries or territories grafted on to that olive tree. About two-thirds of all the countries and territories of the world have a majority of Christians. There are about 6.9 billion Christians worldwide. 6.9 billion. God said, I will make you the father of many nations, and I will make you the father of billions. Now, if that hasn't come to pass or isn't in the process, I don't know what is. Let's have a look at slide 4, please. This is God's ultimate plan. That those Jews who were hard of heart, who didn't believe, who were the unbelievers, they will be grafted back on. And Paul says, how much easier will it be to graft on to their own trees, the Jews, than it is to graft on the Gentiles? How much easier will it be for them to come back? So God's ultimate purpose is that he has an olive tree of all nations. He wants everyone saved. The lowest concentration of Christians is in the Middle East, North Africa, which is only 4% of the population. Where it all started, there's only 4% of the population, 30 million in that area. Wow. What a growth of Christianity. What a growth of Christianity. But a lot to be done. A lot to be done. See, God's ultimate plan was to have Israel grafted back onto the olive tree. Let's have last one, please, Joe. Slide 5. Now, I don't know whether you get the significance of this. I came across this slide and I said, yes, that's just perfect for what I want this morning. So we can see it's not strictly according to what I've been doing, but we've got the olive tree of the Jews and we've got the olive tree of the Gentiles, and they're coming together as one, which is what God's original intention was for us. We come together as one. Let's finally read from Ephesians, shall we? The just about sums this up. So Ephesians 2. It's Paul speaking to the Ephesians. And we're looking at verses 11 through to 18, which is oneness and peace in Christ. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders by birth. You were called the uncircumcised ones by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from God's people, Israel, and you did not know the promises God made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has made peace between us and Jews and you Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death. Just look at that again. And just let these words just sink into us. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. God's ambition was to make us a nation of priests, of prophets, and of missionaries. That's what he wanted from us. That tree that you saw right in the very beginning of God's chosen ones were to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries, taking the word, taking the good news of Jesus to anyone who would like to hear it. And that good news is that, as it says in Romans 10, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, if you believe in your heart that his death on the cross was to give you a fresh start. We see lots of these things on the buildings about fresh start for the kids, fresh start. Well, Jesus has given anybody who doesn't know him the chance, the opportunity of a fresh start. If we believe that in our hearts and we confess that on our lips, then we are saved. Isn't that wonderful? So simple. Of course, there's one or two other things that comes in. We need to repent and we need to be baptized. But isn't that good news? Good news of the gospel. Amen. Father, I just thank you for this morning. Father, I just thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. Father, I just pray, Lord, that anything which is not of you, what I've said this morning, I've been very, very careful just to quote what you say in your word, Father, without any personal opinions in there, or very little. But Father, if there's anything there, Lord, which contradicts your word, Father, I pray right now, Lord, it be just wiped clear from our minds and our memories and our consciences, Lord. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that we will go away from here this morning with a clearer knowledge of who we are in you. A clearer knowledge, Father, of what you want from us. A clearer knowledge, Lord, of what your intentions were and are and still are for us, Lord, and the work and the job that we have to do. Father, I just pray that we stay on that olive tree. Father, I just want to be one of your branches, Lord. I want to be one of your branches and take peace to places, Father, and to bring your word to people. And Father, I want to tell people about you. So Father, help us this morning as a body of Christ, your church, in this place in Birtley, Father, to take the good news of what we've learned this morning to all those who will listen. And we know from your word, we know that there will be those out there who won't listen. They won't believe. And there'll still be unbelievers. But there will be a few. There will be a few that we reach who will believe. And they're the ones that we need to reach this morning. Amen. Thank you.